Good morning. Y'all are awake this morning. That's a good sign. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, I'd like to say welcome to Cornerstone Church. Thank you for being here. My name is Nathan, and I have the pleasure of serving as one of the pastors here. And if you would, please fill out the Connect card located in the seat in front of you, and you can return it to the table in the back, and we'll have a volunteer back there to give you a small gift as our way of saying thank you for being our guest today. We're starting our Christmas series today. It's hard to believe Christmas is already here, sneaking up on us. Luckily, Sarah does all the shopping, and so I've not. She even does the shopping for herself from me. So I'm already done with my shopping. That's how good I am. Yes, thank you. I've been juggling with the name, but ultimately, what I felt led to go with this week is that He will be called. ... He will be called. And I'm taking this from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. So Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament that prophesied to Israel that this Savior would come. This child would be born. And this prophecy was foretold over 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Yet, Jesus fulfilled this prophecy perfectly. And I hope to show you that during this series. There's four different titles here that we're going to be covering each week. And the last week that we'll be covering it is our Christmas Eve service, which I hope you will try to make it to. We have never done a Christmas Eve service before, but we're going to have candlelight. It's going to be a powerful service, I really believe. So I hope you'll plan on making it to that. But I want to read to you our verses for this series. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Andy read it to us barely earlier today, but hey, he got through it. That's what counts. That's why we had y'all read, to help him. That's what it really was. For a child is born to us, and a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. So Isaiah is telling Israel that there's this going to be this child given to us, a son that has been given to us, a child that is born, and this child would rule. The government would rest on his shoulders, and he would be this messianic ruler. Let's talk about that word. Israel was looking for the Messiah. The Messiah comes from the Hebrew word meaning anointed one, or chosen one. Isaiah was prophesying about this anointed one or chosen one who was chosen by God to lead Israel as their prophet-like king and would rescue them from their oppression. And this child who would be this Messiah, he would also carry four titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want to point something out before we dive into this. Of those four titles, two of them could apply to any human being. There are human beings who can be wonderful counselors, and there are human beings who could be referred to as Prince of Peace. But two of those titles can only refer to God. Everlasting Father, we're not everlasting, and Mighty God. And so this person, whoever this person would be, and we know it was Jesus, would have to be both God and man to fulfill this prophecy. And of course, Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Today we're going to cover Wonderful Counselor. Now, we have counselors today, and they play an important role in the lives of common people. Counselors often help people with their mental health. That's often when I think about a counselor, I think about someone who helps someone with their mental health. But also you could say like the president has counselors, people who advise him, advisors who help guide him through his decisions. We do something that we call discipleship coaching, and it's like this, but really we just guide people through life, and we guide them through through what we believe God is doing in their life. Now, I was trying to think, why would people go to a counselor? Well, they go to a counselor, number one, when they need help. Often we hit this rock bottom where we are looking for whatever can help us, and we go to a counselor to help us. But also, sometimes we go to counselors just to guide us, just to seek guidance. I know pastors that see counselors regularly, not because they're in need, but just to make sure their mental health stays in check. And then sometimes we go to a counselor just when we need someone to talk to, when we just need to get things out. This child was prophesied not to be just a counselor, but a wonderful counselor. The word wonderful here means incomprehensible or full of wonder. It's a little more weightier than the word that we use today when we talk about something's wonderful. You know, we can say these decorations are wonderful, but they're not incomprehensible. You know, so when this word was used, it means incomprehensible. So this counselor, this child, this son would be a counselor that would almost, that we can't even comprehend. And this counselor back in ancient days, in ancient Israel, a counselor was portrayed as someone such as a wise king, such as King Solomon, who gave us the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. Someone who was a counselor, they would give wise advice or wise guidance, very much kind of like what counselors operate as today. And so this child would be someone who would give that wise advice and wise guidance. And I want to show you today how Jesus did exactly that. And not only did he do that, but he's doing that now. And he can do that for you. And I hope you'll know that by the end of today's message. We're going to be in John chapter 4 today. You already heard me mention the woman at the well. Because when I was thinking about a time when we saw Jesus counseling, the woman at the well was the first thing that came to my mind. He works with this woman, he counsels this woman, and her life has changed because she met this incomprehensible, wonderful counselor. So I got five things I want to tell you as I describe Jesus, what type of counselor he is. And then at the end of every sermon during this series, I have one word that I want you to do in response to Jesus being that title. And they're all going to start with L, probably, at least right now. So you'll hear that end. But I'm going to first go through the five things that describe Jesus as a counselor. The first thing is this, is Jesus is a caring counselor. He is a caring counselor. Now, hopefully your worldly counselors, you're going to hear me refer to worldly counselors and wonderful counselors. So hopefully your worldly counselors, hopefully they care. If they don't, they're probably not a good counselor. But to meet with a counselor, I thought about this. If we wanted to meet with a counselor, if someone wanted to meet with me, most of the time they're going to have to initiate the meeting. They're going to have to call me. Or if you're calling a counselor, you've got to call. If you want to meet with a counselor, you've got to call the counselor. Most of the time, the counselor does not initiate the counseling themselves. But it's different with our wonderful counselor. Jesus has initiated the counseling. Jesus has initiated the counseling relationship. In fact, the image I had in my head, normally we've got to pick up the phone and call them, but Jesus has picked up the phone and he's calling you. Right. He cares so much that he's wanting to interrupt your life and say, I'm here. We see this happening in John chapter 4 with this woman. We're told in John chapter 4, verse 4, that Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. He did not have to go through Samaria. Samaria was out of the way. If he was using Google Maps, it would not have taken him through Samaria. But he was using God Maps, and it took him straight to Samaria. Because he cared so much about this woman that he was going to go meet her. So Samaria, a little background information. Samaria, the Samaritans are kind of the enemy of the Jews. And you try to stay away from Samaria. You try to stay away from the Samaritans. They didn't get along. And you're going to hear a little bit later some of their differences. You're going to hear a little bit later some of the areas where they disagree. And you're going to see that Jesus broke this cultural boundary to go to Samaria. But him and disciples are going through Samaria. He sent his disciples somewhere else. And eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noon time. This is important. The time is important because you are not going to go to the well at noontime, because you got to think, this is the Middle East. This is very hot at noontime over there. And so Jesus goes to this well. There's no one else there at this point, because who's going to walk all that distance from the village out to the well only to carry buckets of water back in the heat of day? You're going to wait till the evening, or you're going to do it early in the morning. But Jesus is there when no one else would be there, although he knew this woman was coming. So soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" See, Jesus broke a boundary there. Number one, male and female shouldn't have been talking like that. Number two, a Jew and a Samaritan shouldn't have been talking like that. But Jesus didn't care about these cultural boundaries that we've set up. He didn't care about these labels that we put on ourselves, because we're all children of God. And so he crossed that boundary. He crossed some of these man-made barriers, which we should as well, church. Jesus replied to this woman, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Jesus, in this chapter, in these verses that we've just read, we see what a caring counselor he is. He has went out of his way to connect to this woman. Number one, he went to where the woman was. Number two, he initiated the conversation. And number three, he's moving that conversation into a spiritual type conversation. And he's offering her something only he can offer. This is a picture of what Jesus does for us. Jesus cares about you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done today. Jesus cares about you. He loves you so much. His love is wonderful, and I mean in the sense that we're looking at today. It's incomprehensible. There's no way you can understand how much Jesus loves you. And I can tell you today, one of the enemy's number one goals is to make you think that Jesus doesn't love you. One of the enemy's number one strategies is to make you think that you are so bad, so sinful, so worthless, that Jesus doesn't care about you. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie straight from hell. That the Word of God, which is the truth, tells us that He loves you so much. So don't you believe that lie. Don't you believe those thoughts in your head that tell you that you are messed up and that Jesus can never love someone like you. Jesus died for you. He loves you so much. He's already shown that. And so Jesus loves about you. Jesus cares about you. And He cares so much about you. He cares so much about us that He came to be like us. In the form of a little baby. He came. I never think of Christmas without thinking of Easter. He came to be like us, but ultimately He came to die for us. But that was all with the end goal of so that we could be with Him. So that we could enter into a relationship with Him. And so the enemy is going to do everything he can do to try to keep you from Him. He's going to put all these thoughts in your head. And I see this going on with the Samaritan woman, because mentally, what thoughts just came into her head? "You shouldn't be talking to me, Jesus. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You're a man, I'm a woman. You're not supposed to be talking to me." She's thinking about all these other things, all these rules of the day that meant she shouldn't be talking to Jesus, and Jesus just wants to connect with her. He's calling her. He's wanting to enter into a counseling relationship with her, and He's calling you today. He's interrupted your life right now. Today, He sent me here to tell you He's calling you, and you've got to pick up the phone. How many people don't pick up the phone? You know, we just keep the phone there. And we'll pick it up maybe at some point if we really need them, but most of the time we're just going to keep the phone there. We're not going to pick it up. But I'm here to tell you today, he's calling you, he's initiating the counseling with you, and the enemy wants you to miss the call. So don't miss it. You're in control whether you miss the call or not. You're in control whether you pick up the phone or not. The enemy's going to tell you not to, and often, like I said, he's going to tell you that Jesus doesn't care about you. He's going to try to make it where you can't even hear the phone ringing. He's going to put it on silent. You got to make sure that volume's turned all the way up to know that he is trying to connect with you. So he's this caring counselor that has come to you. He's come to us, and he's calling you because he wants to enter into a counseling relationship with you. And he initiates the counseling because he cares. But the second thing that describes Jesus as a counselor is that he's a wise counselor. He's a wise counselor. In fact, we're told that actually all wisdom comes from him. We'll read that in a second. Worldly counselors, hopefully they are wise. I hope they are. If they're a good counselor, they are going to be wise. A lot of times, though, you have counselors who are smart, but that does not mean they are wise. These are some quotes I found. This was from a professor at Liberty University, actually. Knowledge is the accumulation of fact, while wisdom is the ability to rightly apply those facts. The dictionary actually defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. I tell you, in today's culture, in America, and in the world, we have a lot of smart people, but not a lot of wise people. We have a lot of people that have that degree, but they have no wisdom at all. They don't know how to apply it, rightly apply it in their life and in the lives of other people. But now Jesus is this wise counselor because he is the source of all wisdom. Colossians 2:3, talking about Jesus. In Jesus lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures, not some of the treasures, not a little bit of treasure, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Jesus is smart, but he's also wise. He's actually the source of wisdom. And so we see that wisdom coming out in John chapter 4 with this woman. She says, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" You notice where she's thinking? She's thinking on a knowledge level in terms of what she can see, the physical realm. And Jesus is steering this conversation in a way where he is delivering godly spiritual wisdom. And so Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." And of course, the woman, because she's not stupid, she says, "Please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water." So Jesus is delivering this spiritual wisdom. He's telling her there's a well, another well that you know nothing about. And this well produces living water. In fact, that well can bubble up in you. And if you take this water, you'll never be thirsty again. And of course, she wants what Jesus is offering. But what we see that Jesus did here is he displayed, number one, his knowledge of spiritual things. But he's also telling her how to apply this new knowledge. Jesus is counseling this woman from his wisdom. You know, we have a lot of problems. If you're like me, you're dealing with a lot of issues in your life because we're messed up people. Some of us a little more than others. Don't look at anybody else in the room. But we're all messed up. And you know, often I think we're treating the symptoms and not necessarily the root of the problem. Because most of our problems start at the spiritual level. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul tells us that we are fighting against flesh and blood enemies. You're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. He says it's not necessarily a lot of what you see going on, a lot of what we see going on in the world today, in our government, between our nations, all that. A lot of that is not something that's going on between flesh and blood enemies. A lot of that is something going on in the spiritual realm. A lot of the problems you're facing are not physical, mental, or emotional problems. The root cause often is spiritual. And so we have got to fight. This is why I think that worldly counseling falls short. Because often they do not address the spiritual side of things. And so if you can find a Christian counselor, someone, I'm not trained in counseling, I'll tell you that. My approach to counseling is I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor. So if I listen to the Holy Spirit, hopefully God will work through me so that you can be counseling the way you need. But there are trained, really good counselors in the world today, and the Christian counselors, people who take it from a spiritual perspective and a mental and emotional and physical perspective, they are the ones that really can help you. This is my opinion there. But we have physical and emotional and mental problems in our life, but a lot of them start spiritual. So spiritual problems need spiritual solutions. You can keep trying to fix it with medicine, and it probably ain't going to work. It's just going to numb you. It's just going to possibly mess you up. Now, sometimes you've got to. Sometimes there is physical changes going on where you've got to do that. So I'm not against that. But a lot of times we jump right to that rather than tackling it spiritually first. And so a lot of our problems start on the spiritual level, and spiritual solutions, we need spiritual solutions to spiritual problems. And the good thing is we got this wonderful counselor who's with us at all time, who's the source of all spiritual wisdom. Jesus will give us wise advice. If you listen to him, you can guarantee it is going to be good advice. Your worldly counselors can give you bad advice. I can give you bad advice. Jesus will never, ever give you bad advice. It is going to be wise advice. He will help us to rightfully apply knowledge, and he will help us with our physical or emotional problems, but at that spiritual level. And also he can change you physically and emotionally and mentally too, but at that spiritual level. But here's the thing I want you to know with Jesus being this wise counselor. Not only does Jesus give us wise advice, but he wants to give you his wisdom so that we can make wise choices daily. James 1:5, we're told this: if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. We can ask God for wisdom and he will give it to us. He wants to give it to us. He wants to give it to you. He's just waiting for you to ask. So you can ask him for that wisdom, and when he gives you that wisdom, it's going to help you make some wise decisions in your life. But it's also going to help you help others make wise decisions in their life. He wants us to make wise decisions so that we can live our lives for him well. And so Jesus is this wise counselor who's the source of all wisdom. He gives wise advice, but ultimately he wants to give us his wisdom so we can make wise choices. So Jesus is a caring counselor that's calling you. He's initiating the counseling relationship. He's a wise counselor. The third thing is he's an all-knowing counselor. This is where we get into God territory. Because you can have a wise counselor and a caring counselor, but there is no worldly counselor that is all-knowing. There is no worldly counselor that knows everything, but Jesus does. Jesus knows every single thing about every single one of us. He knows everything that has happened to us. He knows everything that is going to happen to us. He is unlike any other counselor on this earth in that regard. And we see this very clearly with the woman at the well. Jesus told her, "Go and get your husband." He knew exactly what he was doing there. She said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had 5 husbands." Uh-oh. "And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now." You certainly spoke the truth. Jesus knew all about her 5 husbands, and he knew all about the guy that she was living with now. Why? Because Jesus knew everything about her. He knew everything she has done in the past. And because he knew her past, he knew exactly what she needed in the present. What does she need? Living water. What does she need? Him. And because he's a caring counselor, he's went to her. Because he's a caring counselor, he has met with her. He's calling her to enter into this relationship, this counseling relationship with him. And Jesus is our all-knowing counselor that knows everything. Jesus knows our past. He knows the things we did when we thought no one else was looking. Some of you, that immediately struck fear into you. I tell you today, he still loves you though. He knows the things that happened to us that we've never told another human being. He knows the trauma that we have been through that affects us still today. But in the present, he knows us better than we know ourselves. We talk about him knowing the number of hairs on our head. But he knows what's going on in your head better than you do. And he knows what's going to be coming in the future before we possibly could. He knows what obstacles we are going to face. He knows what problems are going to come up. He knows about every situation that's coming for us. He knows what the enemy is going to throw at us. But here's what's amazing about that. Because he knows everything that's happened to us, everything about us in the present, and everything that's coming in the future, he gives the very best counsel because he knows everything. I can't even wrap my head around it. He knows exactly what you need to hear and do to heal from the pains of the past. He knows exactly what you need from him, and he knows exactly what you need to do in the present to make it through what you're battling right now. He knew about this problem from the creation of the world that you're facing right now. And he cares about you. He's initiated that relationship. He's going to give you wise advice. And he's going to give you some advice right now that's going to prepare you for the future. He will tell you to do things now so that when that problem comes in the future, he's already been preparing you for it so you can tackle it head on. I've seen this happen numerous times in my life. God always knows what's going to happen with our church long before I do. And so he will kind of clue me in every now and then. And he'll tell me to do certain things and say certain things and prepare certain things. And we're getting ready to introduce a new word for 2022. Every year I give a word to our church that I feel like God has led me to say. And in this previous year, the word was more. And what I felt like God was telling me was that he was desiring more from us. So the whole first half of the year was going to be more from us. And then the second half of the year, he was going to do more through us. You know, I was crunching some numbers this past week. We've added over 50 people to our church since January, last January. 36 of those have come since July. More. We've lost some people. There's been some pruning. We have people doing things that they were not doing at the beginning of the year because God is asking for more. But now that they have stepped up, now he's producing more. God is growing our church. We've seen that. But that's an example where he has counseled me long before. Well, I didn't know that we were going to grow that quick. That's like 50% growth for us since July. That's big numbers. If we had everybody here that comes on a regular basis, we'd had 102 people here. That's crazy for us. When we were at 50 or 60 not too long ago. But God prepared me for that. And I think God has prepared me, counseled me to prepare our church for what's coming in 2022. And you'll hear that probably the first Sunday in 2022. So God will prepare you for the future, but he knows your past, he knows your present, because he's an all-knowing counselor. Therefore, he gives the best counsel. So Jesus is caring, he's wise, he's all-knowing. I like this about him. He's a teaching counselor. He's not a telling counselor, he's a teaching counselor. He'll teach you what you need to know. He'll teach you some tools for the future. He'll teach you anything that you want him to teach you. He's the best teacher you could ever have. We see this in John chapter 4 with this woman. So after he exposed all of her major sin, she says, "Sir, you must be a prophet." You know, if we did that today, if God enabled us to do that today, a lot of people would just leave, you know. A lot of people would just walk out. But this woman, she's open to hearing what Jesus has to say. And so she said, "So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped?" So they worship in two different locations. And she's asking Jesus to explain this. You notice she deflected. She says, let's get off the subject, my five husbands. Let's move to something else. I noticed that. But Jesus, because he's a teaching counselor, he's going to teach her. And he is going to help lead her into what she ultimately needs. He's going to tie it all in. And so Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, and is indeed here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." I love what Jesus did here. He took her question about place of worship, and he talked about a life of worship. Because her life had not been a life of worship. Her life has been a life of sin. She knows about the Messiah. You're about to hear that she knew that the Messiah was coming. She was looking for him. And Jesus reveals himself. You're about to see that. She knew about the Messiah, but her life was not a life that was she was living for the Messiah and worship of the Messiah. And Jesus takes her question. It was a good question, but ultimately she was deflecting. And he brought it back around and said, "Woman, here's what God desires." He didn't say, "Woman, woo, woman." That's probably God telling me to stop saying that. I'll back up, God. He told this woman, God desires people who worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not about where you worship, it's about that you live a life of worship. That's what he desires. That's what he wants from us. So Jesus has brought it back around. You haven't been living that way. But that's what he desires. He's teaching her some knowledge, but he's teaching her ultimately things that will help her in the future. He will teach us knowledge if we ask him to, and he'll teach us some tools so that we can take on any problems in the future. I'm thankful for the tools he's taught me. I struggle with anxiety. That's probably my number one struggle. And I shouldn't worry about anything. That's what Scripture says. Don't worry about anything, but pray. Give it to God. Cast our anxiety on him because he cares about us. I struggle with that. And so he has taught me some tools in dealing with my anxiety. One of them's talking with people. Just getting it out. I have close counselors. I mean, they're not necessarily licensed counselors, but I have people close to me that give me advice and give me guidance, people I talk to about what I'm struggling with. Journaling, writing it down, sometimes that helps. But ultimately praying is the major tool that he has taught me to help me with my anxiety. And there's other things as well. Exercise, for example. If I exercise regularly, my anxiety's not high. And he has shown me these tools so that I can use them for the future, so that I can take on any problems in the future. So now when my anxiety gets bad, I use one of these tools that he has given me, that he has taught to me. But he will also teach us some of these tools so that we can teach others as well. I seek his guidance and his wisdom regularly leading this church. And I've been in ministry 7-8 years now, and I am trying to pass that on to our assistant pastors, to our church leaders, so that the lessons I've learned, the tools I've learned, so that they will know them, so they'll have those tools in their tool belt so that they can lead well when God gives them a church. So Jesus is this caring counselor. He's a wise counselor. He's an all-knowing counselor. He is a teaching counselor, but this really separates him. Jesus is a ruling counselor. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. And so you can go to a worldly counselor. People have come to me, you know, you can go to a worldly counselor and not have to take their advice. That's only happened a handful of times. Yeah, right. Jesus, though, when he gives you advice, you better take it. When he gives you guidance, you better take it. Because he is the King of Kings, because he is the Lord of Lords. And so what he says for you to do, you need to do it. He's revealing himself to this woman in John chapter 4, 25 through 26. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us. Little did she know she was speaking to him. Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. I am the chosen one. I am the one you've been looking for. I am the promised Messiah. I am the wonderful counselor. And she just received the best counseling she could ever receive. Jesus' counsel to us should carry weight. I can guarantee you that everything he had just told her carried more weight when she found that out. We're on the other side of this. We know Jesus is the Messiah. I think because you're here today, you believe he's the Messiah. You believe he's the Savior of the world. Therefore, his counsel should carry weight. It should not be optional whether we follow it or not. It should not be something we're like, oh, that sounds like all right advice, but I'm going to go do this. Yeah, that's exactly what we do. We know what he has given us. We know the instructions he's given us. Yet we have allowed his advice, we have allowed his instructions to become optional in our minds. And we say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, who cares if you don't agree with it? You are talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he wants what is good for you because he's that caring counselor. Therefore, you need to listen to what he said. And that's where we're getting to. What I want you to do in response to every bit of this is to listen to him. Listen to him. He is our caring counselor. He's our wise counselor. He's our all-knowing counselor. He's our teaching counselor. He's our ruling counselor. So listen to him. How do you listen to him? I told you about who he is. I've got 6 minutes and 56 seconds to tell you how. The means, number one, is prayer. Prayer is not just one way where you're just talking to God all the time. Prayer is a conversation with God. And if you actually take time to quiet yourself, quiet your mind, quiet your kids, quiet the busyness of life, especially during this Christmas season, you will hear him talk to you. He's this still, small voice. There are thoughts that come to my head that I know did not originate with me. Sometimes the enemy can be putting these thoughts in your head. That's where the battle's going on. And so you need to be aware when that thought does not line up with the second means of listening to him, which is his word. We can read his word and know his advice because he's given it to us in written form or spoken form. So you listen for this small voice in your head and you see if that voice lines up with Scripture or not, because sometimes you'll mess yourself up. If it does not line up with the written word, or another means of listening to him is through the church. I hope God is speaking to you through me today. That's my goal every week. It's not that you hear me, but that you hear God. I hope God's speaking to you. So if you hear something in your head and you know it didn't originate with you, then you have to examine it and see, is this God Is this myself? Is this something else? And if it lines with the truth that you've read, truth that you heard, then it's probably God speaking to you. So you can listen to God through prayer, the word, the church, but ultimately God can speak through anything. He spoke through a donkey one time. So he can use anything. I was mowing my yard yesterday, messed up my sinuses and everything, but I was mowing my yard yesterday, and I sensed God tell me, look at everything going on around you and figure out what I'm saying to you. And so I was mowing my yard to cut the leaves up. And what he was talking to me about was how the leaves, they fall to the ground, they die. I'm cutting them up so that they'll decompose into to help my grass, because my dogs have messed up my grass like crazy. So they'll decompose to help re-enrich the nutrients in the soil. And he said, there's times where we fall down too. There's times where we get cut up too. But ultimately, he's bringing something new out of that. He's just re-enriching the soil. Listen, I was listening to music. And God told me, I want to speak to you now, look around. He spoke to me through some leaves falling on the ground that I was cutting up. He can talk to you through anything if you're just willing to listen. So listen to him as your wise counselor. And if you do, he will do three things. Number one, he will guide your path. Proverbs 3:5, this is wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. If you need guidance in your life, if you're facing a tough decision right now, if you don't know what direction to head in, seek him. He'll guide you. He'll show you which path to take, because he's a good God that cares about you. But here's where I think you might get excited. If you listen to him, he will work whatever you're going through around for the good. But if you don't listen to him, it's not guaranteed to turn around for the good. So don't let that falling leaf be wasted. Don't let the problem you're facing today, the experience that you are facing today, be wasted. Instead, follow him. He will work all things around for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. That is the truth in Scripture. And here's why he can do that. This goes back to him as a ruling counselor. He will work all things around for the good because he's the Lord of Lords. We used to sing that song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you in his hands. And so if you follow Jesus, if you take his counsel, if you listen to it, he will somehow work the worst situation you could ever imagine. He will somehow work it around for the good, for you and for other people. And that does not always mean, church, that he's going to change your situation. He can. It's in his power because he's the Lord of Lords. But what I found out is that often he doesn't want to use the situation to change your situation. He wants to change you in the middle of your situation. And so if you are listening to his counsel, or if you're listening to his advice, he will use the worst thing you've ever been through, the worst thing you've ever experienced, whatever problem you're facing now. If you listen to him, he will work it around for the good. He will change you. And ultimately, he'll change your situation one way or another. But we have to listen to him. If you don't listen to him, you're throwing that away. And what the devil meant for evil is going to cause bad things in your life. But God can take what the devil meant for evil and use it for good. Because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And finally, if you listen to him, he will guide your path. He will work all things around for the good. But it's not just about us. If you listen to him, you can help others through similar situations. That's what the woman did. John 4:28-29, the woman left her water jar. Whole reason she came out there. She said, I've got to go back and tell my people about this. So she left the water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And so the people came streaming from the village to see him. I've got 3 seconds to tell you this part right here. Just kidding. I'm going to take longer. This is the part of the scripture where Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This woman became a worker. She immediately started telling people about Jesus. It wasn't just about Jesus changing her situation. It was about Jesus using her to help others. And so she goes out and she's preaching the gospel and said, this guy might be the Messiah. You better come out and see him. So people came streaming from the village and the disciples come back. And Jesus says, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Picture this scene. Jesus just met with this woman at the well and he just told her everything about her. And he's telling her about this living water and he reveals himself as the Messiah and people are running to the village and the disciples are like, Jesus, you shouldn't be talking to that woman. Jesus, that was culturally wrong. Shame on you. Obviously they didn't say that, but. And Jesus says, look guys, all these people running out here, the fields are ripe for harvest. That's a powerful scene, church. The fields are ripe for harvest, so pray that God would send workers out into the harvest field. It's not just about you, church. It's about other people as well. So when he helps you, help others. Help them carry their burdens. Tell them about the Messiah. Help them when they struggle. So as we end today, I want to ask you, what are you going through today that you need his wonderful counsel? He cares about you. It's not a coincidence that you're in this building today or you're listening online today. He's calling you right now. He has sent me here to tell you that he cares about you. He wants to connect with you. He wants to counsel you, but you have to pick up the phone. And if you do, he's going to give you wise counsel because he's the all-knowing God. He'll teach you some tools you need for the future, but you have to listen to him as your ruler. And if you do, you will see God guide your path. You'll see good things as a result, and you'll be able to help others. My question for you today is this. What do you need God to speak to you today? What do you need his advice on? What do you need his counsel with? You're going to have an opportunity during this next song to come up here and seek him. To come up here and ask this wonderful counselor to speak to you, to speak to your situation, to speak into your life, to give you that advice. Maybe you just experienced a tragedy in your life. You can come up here and seek him today. Maybe you have a decision to make about your job. Maybe you have a decision to make about your family. Maybe you have a decision to make about your marriage. Maybe you have a decision to make about anything that's facing you. He wants to counsel you with it today. Come up here, seek him. Listen to him, listen for him, take his advice, take his counsel. He wants to speak to you. You just have to respond. Stand to your feet.